I want to say something the Lord has put in my heart today. I woke up this morning praying for this congregation and praying for different things God was saying to me and different things, just praying it out. And I say this with great honor and great respect. Pastor Johnny, there are a few things I believe God has you to do yet, and assignments that He has for you to do yet. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. And I certainly don't know all of it. I know you have a good relationship with the Lord, good fellowship, and God will show you exactly what that all is, because I know your heart is to run and finish and hear well done. And as I prayed and sought the Lord, one of the things that He put in my heart was that, and I know this, you know this, your congregation knows this, that there has been an anointing on you and faith, really, for buildings, for land, and those kinds of things. And the Lord said to me, or revealed to me, and I don't know enough about this in your life to know the facts. I'm just saying what the Lord shared with me, that there have been angels that have worked with you and assisted you in that. And maybe you can fill me in on more what that's all about after the service or whenever you would like. But there's a verse that came up in my spirit, and it's in Genesis chapter number 24. And verse number 40, this is the context of this. If you want to look at it, you can with me. The context, this is not my sermon. This is just sharing what's on my heart. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a word and spirit church. Yes. And this story is when Abraham sent his servant to go get Isaac a bride. How many of you remember that story? And Isaac, of course, the servant was supposed to find her. And he said, well, how am I going to know? And he said, well, the Lord will go before thee. And that's what he said here in verse number 40. Abraham said unto his servant, well, actually, the servant is quoting this to Rebecca, actually. Is it Rebecca, I think, what Abraham had said, we don't have record of it, but Abraham had said this, and the servant is quoting it. This is Genesis 24:40. He said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife of for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. He said there would be an angel go with, he was talking to the servant, and the servant said, well, how am I going to know, that, you know, how am I going to find her? And this is what Abraham said to the servant, that the Lord would send his angel with his servant. That came up in my spirit, Pastor Johnny, that the angels have been working with you, and of course, you know, let's bless this congregation, but this is one of the things that you must do before you finish. I'm not saying you're finished. You could be, you know, 10 more years. It's up to you and God. You understand. I'm just saying that before you go, this is one of the things you need to do, is assign this angel to work with this congregation that's been working with you. Amen. That's what Abraham said. This angel, this was his Abraham's angel that was working with him, but he sent it with the servant. Isn't that an interesting thought? Amen. And so I know the anointing will come on you at a time, and that'll work for you, and you'll be able to do that in the very ministry of that angel that's worked so closely with you. And, of course, it's blessed this congregation. You understand. But the responsibility is yours before you go to speak that into being, that angel be assigned to this congregation and not just you. Amen? Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. I know that's bold and strong, but I'm just sharing what was on my heart. Amen. And that it'll work. It'll work. Tell your neighbor it'll work. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I had a situation one time in a prayer meeting in our church. This was quite a number of years ago. A lady was, well, we had, 15 people there in the prayer meeting, I think. 15, 20, something like that. And these were the core, you know, the people that, I mean, if you prophesied the sun's going to come up in the west tomorrow morning, they're going to get up and look. You know what I mean? These people are in there, and they're with you, you know. And but we got over into the spirit, and all of a sudden, I'm just praying there, and all of a sudden, there's an angel standing right beside me. And I said, Lord, what's he here for? And the Lord said, he's here. There was a lady in the prayer meeting that day that I knew a little bit about their situation financially, but I didn't know all the details. I'm going to tell you now the details. I didn't know at the time. But the details were that they had, this was back around the crunch, 2008 or something like that. You remember when the economy turned down, house values went down, so forth. They had this lady and her husband had just gotten married. Well, a couple years before that, had just gotten married. And he had moved, or she had, I think it was the condo that she had bought. And she had rented it out because she had moved, of course, to be married in our city. And but the economy turned down, and they wanted to sell that thing, but they were underwater, if you know what I mean. It was worth less. Yeah, the value had gone down. It was worth less than what they owed on it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had that thing on the market, and it just, there was no way that people were going to pay more than what the economy said. And, you know, that's more than what they owed, and so... I mean, it's just sitting there. And but anyway, so they hadn't been able to move that condo for, what, a year or so. And that angel showed up, and I said, Lord, what's he here for? He said, this is your angel. He told me that later. But he said, tell the lady that's in the prayer meeting, tell her to commission him to go and bring the buyer in. I mean, that was really funny to my mind. It's my angel, but he's working for them. You know, what about your angels? Aren't they on the job? I mean, what? I don't understand all that. Although I do know they highly honored the gift and they received the offices in which we stand.
Amen.
Amen. And I thought later, why didn't I commission him? You know, it's just one of those things that you just have to, anyway. So I told her, and she said, all right. And she said, go and cause the buyer to come in. And we all rejoiced, and the word of the Lord came to me and said, the Lord spoke to me and said, you'll see the result of his ministry, that angel's ministry, within 10 days. Well, that's a bold prophecy, putting dates on things and stuff like that. I mean, you better know what you're talking about. Amen. And so, but that's just what the word of the Lord was. So, you know, somebody said, well, how do you know if something like that's God? Just wait 10 days. That's all you got to do. Just wait 10 days. 8 days later, they had a signed contract, and they sold that. They didn't sell it in 8 days, but they sold it within about 3 weeks, really. But the Lord didn't say it would sell within 10 days. He said, you'll see the results of his ministry, that angel's ministry. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And they sold that. Praise God. Had a buyer and sold it. Glory to God. Well, yeah, I don't understand all that. I'm not too sure I understand it all either, but it worked. Hey, that's just...
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say out loud,
I believe
the Word of God.
I believe
that there are angels.
I believe
they're assigned
to assist us
in Jesus' name.
I believe
that they respond to the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, whatever that means, Pastor Johnny, whatever that means to you, I don't know if you're supposed to do it at a time when the anointing's on you to do it. I don't know. I'm just a delivery boy, you know. I'm not the head. I'm just in delivery. You know, I don't make all the decisions. So praise the Lord. Good to see Pastor Keys tonight. and from Fireball, good friends of ours. And we love them. No matter what they say, we are good people and nice people. But I want to say before we get into the Word, you never know how a service is going to end. So thank you to Pastor Johnny and Pastor Debbie for the invitation. Wonderful hospitality, good fellowship, just the good food. And did I mention good food? And just wonderful, good friends, wonderful, top-notch people. God gave you some of the cream of the crop. Amen. They are the real deal. I always like to tell congregations, now if it's not true, I don't tell them, but this is true, so I'm going to tell you. I always like to tell congregations that whenever the pastors are the real deal behind the scenes, they're not just shucking and jiving with you in public and going back and behind and doing something different, then I always like to tell you, you got to tell the congregation they got the real deal, and you got the real deal. Amen. Praise God. Good people, honorable people, love God, love Pastor Nancy, love the divine connections they've got, and very, very people of integrity and honorable. So thank you for having us, and we look forward to years of fellowship. Amen. Did you bring your Bible tonight?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to thank my wife also for such a good job last night. Praise God. She blessed me. And she got all those notes from me, of course. So, you know, you just. Just kidding. She doesn't need my notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Years ago, it was right after Dr. Dufresne died. Oh, excuse me. Went to heaven, changed addresses. He's more alive today than he ever was. But. years ago, it was 2013, the end of the year. I was praying and I was talking to the Lord about some things because that was a big event in our life and ministry and so forth. And thank God for His supply into our lives, and thank God that we were able to see that it was a divine connection and get things before He changed addresses. But I was talking to the Lord about some things, and he spoke to me, and this is much bigger than I have time to get into right now, but He said, I want you to emphasize in your ministry the spirit of faith. I want you to emphasize talking about it. I want you to emphasize imparting it. Because you can learn the principles of faith with your mind and intellect and just mechanically, you know, operate in them. You know what I'm talking about? Go through the motions and so forth. But that's not the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, it's not just you getting a hold of the Word. It's the Word getting a hold of you.
That's good. Yeah.
Amen. I mean, it's not you trying to move, you know, get something to move. It's that the Word has moved you into a place where you won't accept anything else. You won't settle for anything else less than what God's Word tells you is yours. And so there's so much to this this subject, but in preparing for getting that message out into the body of Christ, as our assignment includes, we have learned much about it, and I have observed it in people that God has connected us to, and have understood some things that has helped me even further understand the subject of faith, and really I want to get into some of it tonight. But like I said, it's not just the principles of faith. It's not just an intellectual approach to the Word. It's not just, crossing T's and dotting I's and keeping confession just right. I hate to, you know, say this without taking the time to establish it in the Word, but I'll just maybe give you a couple examples. But it is basically the Word getting a hold of you to the point that it changes your whole demeanor and your whole attitude. You're no longer saying, Father, I just thank you, I'm healed. I mean, you get the whine out of your voice. You know, the spirit of faith changes you. You're not just parroting something you know you're supposed to be saying anymore. It changes the whole outlook of your insides. Hallelujah. And, you know, you get around people that have it, and it just gets a hold of you and starts picking you up and carrying you. Yeah, people that have the spirit of faith, they have a grunt to them. There's a grit to them. There's a intolerance for unbelief to them. You know, it changes their demeanor, and I hate to say it without, because people can take it wrong whenever I say this, but I could take the time and explain it all. But I just simply say it. It just gives you an attitude. And what I mean by that, think about David, first of all. That was an attitude of faith whenever he ran toward Goliath. That's different than just standing back and making confessions, you know. And Goliath went boo, and you go, whoa, yo, hey, I'm going to take your head off, you know. No, he said, I'm going to take your head off. He ran towards him. That's a totally different deal. Something is living on the inside of him. A divine revelation that he's without a covenant, and I got a covenant, I'm taking him because greater is he that's in me, that we would say today, than he that's in the world. And so it just worked something in him and changed him. Another guy you could think of in the Old Testament, we could take a whole service and just look at how this works, but I don't know if you've ever read about David's mighty men. Which, by the way, David was the one. Remember we read right here. Did we even read it? We didn't read it yet, did we? 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. That's written in the New Testament. It says we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. But David is the one that said it initially. David had a spirit of faith. If you go back, I think it's Psalm 116. I'd have to look it up again. Paul's quoting here. And he's quoting David, and David had a spirit of faith. Well, David, we see it when he killed Goliath. We see it when he took the lion and the bear.
Right.
We see it when he operated in everything he did. We also see it whenever he took 400 men who were discouraged, depressed, and in debt, and turned them into the mightiest fighting force Israel had ever seen. These were the losers of society.
Yes. Yeah,
amen. They had to run because they were doing it their way. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Some of you used to be that way. I know.
Come on.
Oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus, you know.
Amen.
So, but he took those 400 men that were depressed, discouraged, in debt, you know, and turned them into a fighting force that wouldn't back down, and describe some of their exploits. One guy killed how many people with a sword, and they had to pry his hand off the sword when it was all over. He just kept on killing and kept on killing because they kept on coming. So he said, okay, next, next. I mean, another guy, his name was Shammah, I believe. He had a field of lentils. Let's say pea patch. We'd understand that today. And he's got a pea patch, and the Philistines are coming to attack and overcome him. And he stood in the middle of it when all these Philistines are coming from everywhere and defended it. Amen. And kept his pea patch.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, that's an attitude.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And David imparted that to those men.
Yeah.
He imparted. Spirit of faith can be imparted. You can get around people that have the spirit of faith and something gets all over you because it can be imparted. Now, I don't mean faith can be imparted.
Right.
You understand? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. We have to keep right thinking about this. But that you know as well as I do that the people you hang with affect you.
Yeah.
Remember in the Old Testament, they said, you know, whenever they went to war, they said, is there anybody here afraid?
Yeah.
Okay, you go home.
That's right.
In other words, they'd rather fight with fewer people.
That's right.
You know, usually when you're going to battle, you want to get as many people as you can. But they realize that spirit of fear, that spirit of fear was going to afflict the rest of everybody around them.
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't afford what was on one person to spread to another. You know, it's one thing to be in a foxhole with bullets flying over your head. It's another thing to be in a foxhole with bullets flying over your head and some guy beside you is tripping out. Oh, we're all going to die.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You know, you just take the butt of the gun, you're like, bam.
Yeah.
Shut him up, you know. Because
exactly.
It starts getting on you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, so faith is the same way. You can hang around people of faith, and before you know it, you realize, wait a minute, they think a whole new different way. Whenever there's not money in the bank, whenever they don't have the money for the bill, they're just like, glory to God, hallelujah. And you're like, I've never done that before, but you start hanging around them, and you start getting off on you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Spiritual things are contagious. That's why they said, you know, who's afraid, you go home. Because spiritual things are contagious.
Yes, they are.
Amen.
You get around people that worry all the time, it takes more effort to keep it off of you.
Yes, it does.
How many of you know it matters who you hang with? It matters that you go to a church that's full of faith for healing. Because if you go to a church that's full of faith for sickness, you could die there just because the only reason is because of who you're hanging around with.
Amen.
I'm sure they're lovely people, you know, just love God maybe, but maybe they just don't have the spirit of faith in that area.
Amen.
So there's so much to this. God's assigned us to get out in the body of Christ, but Dr. Dufresne had a spirit of faith. Pastor Nancy has a spirit of faith. Your pastors have a spirit of faith.
Amen.
I mean, they get up in the face of Big Ugly. You know what I'm talking about? And they back Big Ugly down. I don't mean people. I mean Big Ugly unbelief, Big Ugly bills, and you know what I mean? They just get up in his face and say, you don't rule here. We rule here. It'll be as we say, not as you say.
Amen.
They believe, and therefore they speak. That's the spirit of faith.
Amen.
And I'll be honest with you, in the camp that we all came out of, there's a lot of people that had it and lost it.
Yeah.
They still parrot,
yeah.
But they don't have the spirit of faith.
Uh-oh.
And the Lord told me, he said, I want you to keep preaching on the spirit of faith. And keep this in front of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And we could tell many, many stories. You see them in the Old Testament, and people had a spirit of faith. New Testament people had a spirit of faith. Paul had the spirit of faith. I mean, they tried to kill him and do all kinds of stuff, and he said, I always triumph in Christ. I mean, he just had a grunt to him. He just wouldn't quit. You couldn't get the guy to quit. You couldn't get him to shut up. You'd leave him for dead, and he'd be raised from the dead and go preach in Christ somewhere else. Go preach faith. Go preach somewhere else. I mean, until he was quit, until he said, I'm done, they couldn't kill him. They couldn't stop him.
Amen.
And wherever he went, he had revival or riot, one of the two. I mean, it just is like, because he was so in your face with the spirit of faith. Glory to God. And so the Lord told me to spend a lot of time on this in our ministry, but the spirit of faith in the spirit realm is a big blinking neon sign to the devil, you're doomed. And a lot of people don't communicate this to the devil. The reason the enemy keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming is because they haven't shown the devil yet that they will never quit.
Come on.
Huh? You mean there's a place in God where you can even get past him trying to come? Yeah, think about it. When I was a kid, when I was younger in spiritual things, there were things that the devil kept coming with and kept coming with that today he doesn't even bother me with.
Yeah.
Why? Because I showed him over and over again, no. Not doing it.
Not going to do it.
No. Amen.
Amen.
If the devil sees weakness in your resolve to stay committed to this congregation, he'll keep working on you about it.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, he will.
If he sees a weakness in your resolve to stay divinely connected to a divine connection, he'll keep harassing you about it. Huh? Come on. Come on. Why does he keep coming at me this area? Because he sees weakness. He sees you're still not committed. He sees you haven't made up your mind. This is the way it's going to be, period. Amen. And you got to stand there and just show him that there's no changing on my part. The Apostle Paul talks about there in Acts in one place. He talked about a decision that he made. It was a decision in the spirit. He said, I resolved. I don't remember the exact language. I resolved in the spirit to go up to Jerusalem. I remember that. But it was a decision from there was no retreat and there was no debate. That's the way it should be when you get married. None of these prenuptial agreements. You know what I'm talking about? Planning to fail. Well, if you plan to fail, the devil's going to be right there working on the failure. He's going to be offering you all kinds of failure. Amen. I'm not even into what I'm going to preach on tonight. Just helping some folks as we go. You got to get to the place where this is it. This, you know, like if you're called to the ministry and you're starting out and it's rough financially, he's got to see that you won't quit. I believe Pastor Ike's been here preaching for you. And, you know, I told Pastor Ike because, you know, he went over there and planned that church. And, you know, the devil didn't rejoice about that. He didn't go, congratulations, you moved to a third world country and you're starting a church. He didn't congratulate. He hits them with everything he can. Yeah. And I told him, I said, you just have to pass the test. He has to know that you won't quit. You got to have an attitude about it. Not that he has wavered. He's not wavered. But I'm just simply saying, I said, you got to show that to him. It's got to be a blinking neon sign in the spirit. You will never get me to back up one inch. I don't quit for whining and lack of money. I don't quit for anybody around me that wants to whine. I'm standing here. It's just like an oak tree or a tree. I mean, if it's a little wee thing, it's only this wide, or you know, big as a pencil or something, you can get that thing out of the ground pretty easy. But once that thing gets good roots and it's this big around, you're not going to get that thing out of the ground very easy. And the devil wants to work on you before you really get established in something.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's all free of charge. Praise the Lord. But whenever you have a spirit of faith about you, it's I won't quit. I can't be defeated and I won't quit spirit. And it's a big blinking neon sign in the spirit realm to those demons that are assigned to observe you that you're getting nowhere with me. Amen? And really, these demons know ahead of time if they see that, they're doomed. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That doesn't mean they won't keep bluffing or keep putting up a charade, you know. They'll keep bluffing. They just want to see if you know it. They're just going to push you. They're just going to push the buttons. They're just going to keep just seeing, but you need to keep showing them, and eventually they'll leave. They'll come back maybe at another time if you're weak or something like that, but there's a lot of things in my life they don't even hit me with anymore. I don't mean everything. You understand. So 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself, see whether you're in faith. How many of you know if God says for us to examine ourselves, there must be some indicators that a man's in faith?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Remember the Bible said Jesus saw the faith of those that let down that man through the roof, Luke 5:20. He saw their faith. I was reading that one time and the Lord said to me, he said, if I hadn't have said I saw it, he said, would you have seen it? In other words, just by their actions, would you have seen their faith? We don't have any record that they said anything. Faith is revealed in words and actions. We don't have any indication that they said anything, but Jesus saw faith even though they hadn't said anything yet. The Bible teaches speaking it, you understand. I'm not preaching against that. I'm saying there was actions that revealed faith. Some people's actions and sound and tone of their voice reveals to me unbelief. It's a blinking neon sign to me. Well, they're not going to make it unless that changes. So there are indications. And the Bible says, and I'm not talking about natural indications. Some people, you know, well, the doctor's report came back and we're seeing better doctor's reports, so that's a good indication that we're going to have the victory here. What I'm talking about is not something in the natural. I'm saying something that the devil sees in the spirit realm that shows him faith. And when he sees that, he knows he's doomed. I mean, he knows already Jesus defeated him, but he's going to test you to see if you know it. And see if he's going to pull off his stunts in your life that he pulls off in everybody else's life that doesn't know that he's doomed. You understand what I'm talking about? And so we read things like in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, you know, the devil's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Notice, the devil's walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know what that means? He comes up to some people, and he knows immediately, I may not.
Yeah, I may not.
Huh? Come on.
Yeah, I may not.
In other words, I won't be able to pull it off with them.
Right.
Other people, he might see he's going to be able to pull it off. In other words, there's something he can see. The devil's not all-knowing. But he can see faith or a lack of it because faith is a spiritual force. And he's in that spiritual realm. And he knows this is the victory that overcomes him, even our faith. And when he sees faith, he knows ahead of time that he's doomed. If they stay with their faith, they know he's doomed. They know they're doomed. Amen. So whenever they see faith and a man resolved to hold fast to it and a man that has a spirit about him, an attitude about him, because you think about that, we having the same spirit of faith. Is that talking about the Holy Spirit? What is that? No. I mean, yeah, the Holy Spirit is, will inspire faith, you understand. But that's talking about, see, faith is of our heart. Faith is of our heart. In other words, he sees the resolve coming out of us and the faith actions coming out of us, and he knows they hold that those faith actions and that faith resolve. I'll never be able to defeat them. He knows that. He knows this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He knows that, and he's the God of this world. So in other words, if our faith will overcome the world, it'll overcome the devil because he's the God of the world.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you help me, we'll get to some good things here tonight. Y'all pulling, aren't you? You're listening. That's why you're not as loud, and that's fine. I understand that. So we see then that Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It'd be like me going down this row looking for somebody to beat up. I think I can take him. Not sure. Probably. I don't know. I'm not late on the ladies. I'm not picking on the ladies. Whoa. No. Good to see you tonight, sir. Praise God. You're on my side, right? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. In other words, there's some that I may, but there's some I may not. If you're mad and you're looking for somebody to pick on, you see a big 6'6" guy, burly, muscles, tattoos, still got a ponytail. And he's got to look like this. He's got 3 teeth missing. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, good evening, good to see you tonight. I'm not mad no more.
Come on.
Isn't that right? The devil can see things in the spirit that tells him, I may not.
That's right.
He's looking for whom he may devour. In other words, there's indicators people show in the spirit realm. They might not even realize they're showing it. But the devil can see certain things. And there's indicators that he can whoop them, even though he doesn't have the right to. How many of you know the devil's an opportunist? He'll do things even though he doesn't have the legal right to, because we're redeemed from his power. But he'll try to pull things off in people's lives who either don't know it or won't stand for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen? And he'll do it illegally, even though he doesn't have the legal right to do it, yet he's an opportunist, and he'll do anything illegally that he can get away with. It's not legal for people to come into your house while you're here at church and break in the front door and take your furniture. It's not legal. But there are people that are looking for opportunities to do stuff like that. Amen. And the devil's an illegal. He's an illegal entity in this earth. He's not legal here in our lives. You understand? Because we're redeemed from his power. But if he finds an opportunity, he'll take it. Even though he doesn't have a legal right. That's why we must exercise faith. Whom, remember 1 Peter there, it says 5, 8, and 9. He's looking for whom he may devour. Then it says, whom resist steadfast in your faith. Resist him in faith. Why? Because when you do that, he can't do it. That's what he said. He's looking for whom he may. He may not people who exercise their faith. Well, okay, we're laying a foundation. We're getting to where we're going. Praise the Lord. There's a verse in 2 Timothy 2:26. I won't go there for time's sake, but 2 Timothy 2:26 talks about Satan being able to take some people captive at his will. At will. He's talking to believers. He's able to take them captive at will. In other words, anytime he has a whim to do it in their lives, not everybody's life, but in their life, he can do it at will. And he can see that. Does that make any sense? So there's got to be some indicators to the enemy that he can get away with something, and he must be able to see that. I remember, and then there's indicators. Some people he's not going to pick on them because in that area, because he's you try to get them, and you're going to get whomped. You know what I mean by whomped? There's a whooping, and then there's a whomping. I've been whooped, and I've been whomped, and I've whipped other people and whomped other people. In high school, or it was actually elementary school, there was a bully named Clyde Ficus. And he was a big bully. And he's just a big mouth. And one day it dawned on me, he sits and watches television every day after school. I go home and throw hay bales around until the sun goes down. You know, because I grew up on a farm. And it dawned on me, I'm developed and he's not. Next time he mouths off, I'm going to give him a whooping. And he did. He's faithful, you know. He's faithful big mouth. So we were playing kickball in the elementary school playground, and he mouthed off and started in, and so I gave him a whooping. And he was nice to me from then on. Hallelujah. I taught Clyde Ficus who's in charge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. 2 Timothy, that verse said there's people that at his will he can just, and he can see that. He can see there's people that he can just take. So there's these indicators. Now, Psalm 27:11 is a verse that I'm sure you've been taught well. I just want to say this before as we go past this because it'll be important for us to understand this for the rest of what we're going to share tonight. Psalm 27:11, the psalmist David said, "Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in plain paths because of mine enemies." And I'm sure you've been taught that that actually in the Hebrew says, in fact, most Bibles will have a little letter there, mine enemies. In fact, in my Bible, there's a little letter M. And I go over to the edge of my Bible, and it says, letter M, those who observe me. And that's actually what the Hebrew says. In other words, teach me thy way, lead me in plain paths, because of mine enemies that observe me. In other words, there are enemies and actually demonic forces that their job is not necessarily to attack you. Their job is to watch you. Let's just see what they do in this situation. And so they get somebody to come along and push a button, in your life, and it makes you get mad and, you know, get all worked up or something, or gets you to break down into a pity party and cry or something. And those demons are watching. They go, oh, hey, headquarters, yeah. Hey, send demons to do that to them over and over again. I've been watching, and man, that gets them every time.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so headquarters sends demons to just keep pushing that button, keep pushing that button, keep pushing that button. And they know that if they keep pushing that button, you'll cuss, sure enough, you know. Or you'll fly off the handle, get mad, or you'll get into a pity party, sure enough. And so they'll just sit there and laugh and keep on pushing that button. Why? Because there was an assigned demon to watch you and just see what works. See where the weaknesses are. See where they can get the advantage over you or get the advantage that you have over them away from you so that they can get the advantage over you. Making any sense tonight? So that's the way the kingdom of darkness works. You ever notice that it just seems like there's times where it just seems like the same old thing keeps that irritates you every time, just keeps happening. You meet them everywhere. I mean, if it has to do with, I don't know, something that really you gets you worked up. There's a lot of people that get that way about politics, you know. Just get them worked up. The devil just likes everybody all worked up. Yeah, but you ever notice whatever it is that gets you worked up? You know, if it's something that just keeps happening, that like somebody cuts you off in traffic and you just get mad. You ever notice it seems to happen over and over again? You ever wondered why? Selah. Amen. Those demons were watching and saw how you got in the flesh, got you out of the spirit. And that they saw, oh, there's a place we can get access to them. There's a weakness right there. I remember one person I was praying for a period of years, over a period of years, and the enemy kept coming in the same area and kept coming in the same area. I said, Lord, finally one day I said, Lord, why does the enemy keep coming in that same area? The Lord said, he sees weakness. He sees weakness. In other words, that's an area that they get tripped up in. Do you know areas you've been tripped up in can actually become real, real strong areas? It's a little bit like a bone. They say if you break your leg, you know, in the natural way of thinking, you would think maybe that from then on, because maybe you put a cast on it and it heals up. In the natural way of thinking, you would think maybe from then on that maybe would be a little bit weak right there or something. You know, unless you know really what happens, you would think that'd be the case. But actually, they say that actually becomes a stronger area. Because it really builds up a lot of the whatever, however the bone forms there. Maybe it builds up a little extra around that break, and it's actually a stronger area. You can be that way spiritually. Right. What the devil used to keep pushing, the button he used to keep pushing to get you whatever, gets you in the flesh, that can be an area where it just doesn't work anymore. Amen. It can be an area that he just can't even get to. But if you ever notice, you get areas strong in your life like that. You ever notice, though, you get a little worn down spiritually or something?
Yes.
There it is again.
Yeah.
Anybody ever notice that like me? You got to stay on guard. But basically, in the everyday lifestyle that you've learned to live, staying strong in the Lord, he just has to stand back. He just doesn't have the ability to get in there. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so there must be some indicators, because these demons here is talking about those that observe me. Of course, in David's day, he was talking about natural men. But we don't fight flesh and blood. And these things watch, and I believe, are looking for a way in. Amen? So, what are we going to do about it? The Lord spoke to me tonight to talk to you about something that I believe the Lord's saying that he wants some people to beef up on. And I want you to go to Philippians chapter number 1 and look with me at verse number 28. Philippians 1:28 says, in nothing be terrified by your adversaries. Now, how many of you know that's talking about demon forces? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Which, in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them, or to the adversaries, an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Now, listen to that. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. In other words, we'd say afraid. Not being made afraid in anything by the enemy. Can we paraphrase it that way? Then he said this, which is, the King James says, which is to them an evident token of perdition. An evident token of perdition. I don't talk like that. Anybody talk to anybody today and say, boy, that's an evident token of your perdition. No, that's King James Elizabethan English, and we don't even know who Elizabeth was. And we got to get this in our vernacular. All right, what is he saying? Listen to the Amplified. I love the Amplified. Do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. Talking about Satan. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof, and seal to them of their impending destruction. But a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God. Oh, Sookie, Sookie. How much time you got? Oh, now church has started, I'm telling you. Did you see that language? Your fearlessness, your constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign. That's what we've been talking about. To the enemy. In other words, you can put a blinking neon sign up in the spirit realm, doomed. Yes. Notice he said, of their, King James says, let's read the Amplified. A clear sign and proof and seal to them of their impending destruction. Yeah. In other words, yeah, you can try it, but it isn't going to work here. You're doomed. You're doomed. What is it that puts that sign up? Your fearlessness. In other words, your lack of fear. You don't have any fear. And so, how many of you know one of your adversaries is fear, or one of the strategies of your adversary is fear? He's trying to get you and me in fear. Remember the Bible said that we have not been given a spirit of fear. In other words, I like to say it this way. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but we've been given a spirit of faith. We having the same spirit of faith. Having the same spirit of faith. Say, I have the same spirit of faith.
I have the same spirit of faith.
Amen. You know, all of us actually have it. Some people are expressing it, some people are not, but we all have it. We all have it. It's in our spirits. It's our nature. It's your nature to have faith in God. It's your nature to believe God. It's your nature. Your spiritual nature, your born-again nature, to not be afraid of the enemy. Amen. But we got to get our minds renewed to who we really are and what we really have. And so he's telling us that whenever we demonstrate this spirit of faith, this fearlessness in the face of the enemy's threats, then it's a blinking neon sign in the spirit realm. You're doomed. You're doomed. In other words, you'll never pull off what you pull off everywhere else. You'll never pull it off here. How many of you know it ought to be in our lives, 1,000 fall at this side, 10,000 at that side, but it won't come near us. Ah, glory to God. That's what happened to this church in the financial downturn in 2008. A lot of people. A lot of churches. Not H2O. Glory to God. The devil tried, and they kept putting up the blinking neon sign. And they looked at each other and say, it's time to put up the five alarm fire, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I mean, they had your picture and your church's picture, your pastor's pictures up in the post office in hell. Most wanted. We can't get to them. We can't get to them. Alarm, alarm, alarm.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. They were throwing darts at it. But they couldn't get to you. Oh, I'm about to shout. Glory.
Glory,
glory, glory. So, it was an indication to them ahead of time, we're doomed. And they kept trying, but they knew they were doomed.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing more disheartening than going into a ring. If you're a boxer and you know ahead of time, you're doomed.
Yeah.
Amen. If an opponent, if two boxers, you ever notice big mouth one another, whatever the word is? They smart off to one another before the fight, yeah, over the news media, you know, smash talk, whatever. Talking smack. You have to forgive me, I'm a white boy. You know what I'm talking about? And they're trying to intimidate one another, because if they can rattle them before they get into the fight, the fight's already won. Amen. And nothing worse than going into a situation where you're already rattled. You know what I mean? Amen. So the enemy will smack talk you. What's that? Did I say it right? Smack talk you. He'll talk big. He'll throw all kinds of statements at you and threats at you and intimidations, and then he'll throw the feelings in to make you feel like it's true. And if you're not careful, and if you take it all, he's got you already. And whenever it changes the countenance of your face, they go, hey, look at his face. We got him. We got him. We got him. Look at him. Look at him. We got him. In other words, they don't see what this verse says, constancy. They saw, you know, they saw that you were standing in faith, but then they saw the expression on your face change, and they go, hey, keep that up. That's working. Look, 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 that's working. That's a sign. I see a sign right on their face. Amen.
Amen.
But whenever they see fearlessness, and they see you praising, and they see you rejoicing, see, they don't know everything. They don't know everything. They just go by what they see. They don't know if you're believing in your heart. But whenever they see the expressions of faith, they're like, uh-oh, signs are up. You know? Hallelujah. And so keep making him read something other than I'm winning. Make him keep reading you're doomed. And don't give him a moment. You understand? Don't give him a moment of fear. Don't let him see you sweat. Hold him in the arena of faith. Keep expressing your faith. You say, I don't feel like it. Well, just know, he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know that.
All he can go is by what he sees. Amen. And make him watch you every day, praise God, and act in on your faith. And even when you got the feelings of faith, the feelings of fear, you act in faith. Somebody said, but no, I'm afraid. I feel afraid. Let me, can I break something to you? Fear is no more a feeling than faith is a feeling. Okay, they didn't get that. Faith is not a feeling. We know that. And fear is not a feeling either. You can have all the feelings of fear, but you're not letting it on the inside. Amen. Whenever it presents itself to you, it doesn't mean you took it. The thoughts of fear can come, the feelings of fear can come, and you can stand there and say, I refuse to be afraid.
I refuse
to be afraid. I got all the feelings like running. I feel like tripping out right now. And you just stand there and go, ha, 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 ha. I'm always triumphant. And the devil goes, oh, my goodness, we're losing. But if you went by feeling, you'd trip out. And then you go, oh, I see a different sign.
That's it.
Amen. Faith is not a feeling.
Right.
Say that out loud. Faith is not a feeling. I've had people over and over again. I remember in healing school one day, somebody came up to me and they said, okay, I've been here for a few days and I've been hearing you teach on faith and believing you receive and walking by faith and not by sight and so forth. And they said, maybe you could help me. They said, I finally understood what you were saying and I acted on that and I believe I received. And they said, I must be doing something wrong, because ever since I've done that, there have been thoughts double parked on the highway to my ear, suggestions. Well, you didn't get anything. What are you talking about? Yeah. He said, I cast one down, and there's another one. They're double parked on the highway to my ear. They said, I must be doing something wrong. I said, welcome to Faith 101. Amen. I've never believed I received anything that I just felt. I felt it. I got it. Every time, there's always this yakety-yak-yak. Yakety-yak-yak. Somebody just got an answer right there. Well, you're not doing something wrong. You're doing something right. Why is he so worked up all of a sudden? He didn't bother you that you weren't. Hallelujah. He didn't bother you that you weren't healed before that. But you believe you received it. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. What made you so upset? I'll tell you what made him so upset. The fact that you got in the arena of faith that he can do nothing about. He can do nothing about it. He's worked up because he sees a sign. And it's blinking in his eyes. He's like, give me those sunglasses. I'm tired of looking at that. What? No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. And you got to try to talk you out of your faith. Because you're in the arena that he can't touch you anymore. He cannot touch you in the arena of faith. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. And so your opponent's trying to frighten you. He's trying to get you shaken. He's trying to get you afraid. But notice what it says in the Amplified. He said, your opponent and adversaries are for such constant. Let me back up and start it over at the beginning. Do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness. In other words, constant fearlessness. In other words, not just moments of faith and moments of fear. The Amplified doesn't bring it out. Let's read it in the King James. It says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Other translations say, not for a moment. Not for a moment. You ever heard anybody say, I'm just having a moment. Just give me a moment. I'm just having a moment. This verse said, don't give him a moment. Well, I just feel, see, there's your opportunity to express faith right in the middle of no feelings. Show the devil faith all the time. Just show him faith all the time. Well, I just don't feel like it all the time. Just show it to him anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. So how long is fear supposed to last? Not for a moment. Oh, that was an easy question. Hallelujah. So when it shows up, don't tolerate it for a moment. Answer it for the very moment that it came. Amen? This isn't just something that is an option. If you're going to walk by faith, you got to answer things. Pastor Nancy's taught so well on that. Answer things the moment they come. You ever notice that whenever Jairus came to Jesus and asked or said, you know, my daughter lies at home at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her. I believe if you'll come, you'll lay your hands on her. She'll be healed. You ever notice that Jesus went, you know, began to go. And you ever notice whenever that report came, trouble not the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. You remember that? You ever notice that the Bible says, the Amplified brings it out even better than the King James. It says in the King James, immediately Jesus, hearing the report or something like that, it said that Jesus said to Jairus, fear not, believe only. But the thing that I want you to see, he did that immediately. Immediately. In other words, he was telling Jairus, don't give the devil a moment. Don't give him a moment. You got to live in the place to have constant victory, I'm talking about. You got to live in the place where the moment things come and attack your mind, you answer it. You can't afford to go a day or a few hours or, you know, and just oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then the next time you get to church, you're like, oh, okay, I forgot. Yeah, we're going to believe God. Can't live that way. Amen. Amen. He's working on you, getting all that time, you know, to wear you down. Don't let him do that.
Right.
Tell your neighbor, don't have any. Tell your neighbor, stop having moments. Doesn't make you popular sometimes with people because they want to have times and moments of crying and boo-hooing. And the devil's sitting there and reading that sign. Weak, weak, weak. We're winning, we're winning, we're winning. Oh, ouch. Come on. Say it again. Not for a moment. We all know what it's like to have those fiery darts hit us. The Bible talks about them in Ephesians. You know, quench it. He said, well, take the shield of faith. You'll be able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. You can't afford to let one of them get in and start burning up. Burning because it'll just start spreading through your whole life. Here's what I've watched. I let in one thought. That thought starts having babies.
Yeah.
I mean, and thoughts of the enemy breed like rabbits, too. I'll tell you what. Don't they? I mean, you let one little thought in one area of your life, and within an hour, your whole life is terrible. Yeah, and I know it. I'm so tired of my wife, and I'm so tired of the, yeah. And before you know it, you can turn negative on everything in life. Because you let one thought in, and then all of a sudden, there was a lot of other thoughts attached to that. Because you let down your guard, and the Satan just ran through that open door with every bad thought he had waiting for you. I've noticed that. Anybody else notice that? So I've learned I can't afford to give the devil one thought. Let one fiery dart get in, because it'll spread to every area of my life. Before you know it, you're all discouraged about the ministry, and you're all discouraged about your finances, and I shouldn't have made that decision, and this person doesn't like me anymore. I mean, you just, oh! It's called lasciviousness. I don't know if you've ever read that word in the Bible. Lasciviousness in the Bible means lack of control. And you let the devil have one thought in, you have shown him enough lack of control to where he'll just start running with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Lack of control will open the door for a lot of problems. All right. Praise the Lord. We're learning tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, Satan's under our feet. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, if he's under our feet, why do we say things like, well, Satan's just been talking in my ear? Huh? Don't. It's because we let it get that far. Let's keep him under our feet. When he rises up and starts saying something from under our feet and we listen to it, all of a sudden he jumps up on our shoulder. I don't know if you ever thought about that. He's under our feet. But when he says something from down there and we listen and we start entertaining the thought, he jumps up on our shoulder and all of a sudden we gave him place. We gave him place for that one thought. Or that one fear or something like that. But he jumps up here. Why? Because we gave him a moment.
Yeah.
And he takes those moments. He takes advantage of those moments. And so our job is not for a moment to give him any place. You ever lay down in bed and just thoughts of torment and fears and things just start going through your mind? Don't just lay there and let them roll over. You know what I mean? Because, and that'll bring torment in areas that, you know, fear will torment you and so forth. Because what happened was, whenever we gave it a moment, he starts trying to take over our whole mind. He starts trying to take over our whole night and try to keep us from sleeping. And then the next day, and it doesn't stop at a moment. You know, he keeps it up, doesn't he? It's not okay for us to give him a moment. Poke your neighbor and say, don't have moments anymore. Amen. We let him get across that line of a moment. Immediately, Jesus turns to Jairus. Don't fear. Don't fear. In other words, the very first thing that you let in is going to start giving the devil opportunity. And don't let it happen. Amen. All right. So praise God. These things can be signs to the enemy in the spirit world. And Philippians 1:28 is telling us that demons are not all-knowing. They don't know if you're believing in your heart or not. I don't believe they can see your heart. I don't believe they have access to see that. But they can see what's on your face. And they can see how you don't walk as confidently as you used to. You know what I mean? They can see when our demeanor changes. Amen. They know what they can observe in our face, in our actions. And when they see our countenance drop, some people, they're just always that way. They've lived this way for so long, they don't realize the expressions they're putting on their faces.
Come on, that's true.
And I believe the devil sees that. And we got to stop giving him that sign that he's winning. Our countenance matters.
Yeah.
Demons are watching. Amen. Now, whenever we go through tests and trials, it ought to be that we get to the place that we don't show it all the time. You know why we show it? I don't know about anybody specifically. I'll just say we. as the people of God. The reason we show it sometimes is because we want attention. I want a pity party. I want some sympathy. And and listen, there's such a thing as compassion. We understand that. And we are the body of Christ, and we love one another. We have compassion on one another. But compassion doesn't just... Sympathy and compassion are two different things.
That's right. Amen.
Sympathy is, I'm so sad for you, you know, and so forth and so on. Compassion, it doesn't... You know, it says, I love you, but I want to help you.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be mean. I'm not saying that, you know, because people, they sometimes want to jam the word down people's throats. But I'm not talking about that. I'm just simply saying there's answers here. Let's lay hold of our answer. You know what I mean? And sympathy is just sort of, you know, I feel so sorry for you, and just kind of sitting around talking about how sorry we feel for you. Doesn't help. Tell your neighbor that's what we want in our flesh, but that doesn't help us. Everybody still love Pastor Jay? Good, I'm leaving right after this. So. Amen. But the thing about putting a sad look on our face to get attention from other people is it gets another kind of attention. It gets the demons' attention. And they go, oh, I see a sign over here. What's that sign saying? Oh, I'm winning. I threw that at them, and I left to attack somebody else, and look over there, that sad face. I guess I won. I'm going to go back over there, give them some more attention. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. James 1, count it all joy. Count it all joy whenever your mama gives you $1 million because she's gonna give you your inheritance now. No. Yeah, count it joy then too. But count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy means it doesn't feel like it. You've got to put it to your account. You got to say, okay, I'm joyful right now. Hallelujah. And your flesh says, no, you're not. You go, shut up. I'm joyful right now. Oh, we don't feel like it. And the mind's saying, no, you're not. You're lying. No, I'm joyful right now. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. The devil's under my feet, and I'm reminding myself of it. Ha, ha, ha. People say, you're crazy. Well, I'm free. Ha, 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 ha. I'd rather be free and crazy than bound and crazy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Make the devil watch you praise. Make the devil watch you shout. Amen. And make him watch it all day long. You ought to be his least favorite movie. But he's got to watch it all the time. I'm assigned to this one, and I got to watch them rejoice. And you just go, hallelujah!
Yeah.
And he goes, this is my least favorite assignment ever. I can't stand them. They're praising God all the time. Amen.
Amen.
He throws another fiery dart, and you go, hallelujah! Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
What that does is that puts that fire out.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
And that whenever you do that constantly, it's a sign he's losing, and it's a sign you're winning. Praise God!
Praise God!
Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
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 If you're a parent. Pastor Nancy said this. She said, if you're a parent and you don't watch your children's faces, you're not a very smart parent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that, or she means by that?
Yeah.
In other words, you tell them to do something and they go,
yeah.
How many of you know something goes all over you? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
They're telling you something.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? They're telling you something, and if you're a smart parent, you'll do something about what they're telling you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
And like Pastor Nancy said, she said, if you're smart, you'll say, come here, and I'll give you something to roll your eyes about.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Amen.
I'll let Pastor Debbie finish that sermon. Amen. Well, so really, this verse in Philippians 1:28 is telling them, telling us how to, to tell the demons their future. Here's what your future is. Complete failure. In my life, your future is complete failure. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Complete failure. And your future is just miserable, and I want to keep reminding you of it. So, praise God. Did you get anything out of the Word tonight?
Yes.
They will suffer. And actually, you know, be in the spirit realm, be in pain, because you basically keep reminding them of they lost,
yeah,
that Jesus won. I know it. I'm acting like it.
Yes.
They know it's true. They know they've lost. They know they have no right in your life. But whenever you express it to them, it's basically painful for them because they're being reminded of it over and over again. Isn't that right? So, you know, we're not out tormenting demons. You know, that's not what we're talking about. But we're just simply saying, give them no joy. You be the one live in joy because of what you know. Amen. And make them be the ones suffering all the time because they got to watch you walk in the light of who you are and what you have. Amen. Walk in the light. I'm redeemed. Make them hear that all the time, that they've been redeemed, that you've been redeemed and that they're under your feet. And that they will never win, and that they are doomed in your life. They will fail forever in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. No matter what they threaten, the threat they send, no matter what little imps the demon sends around to poke you and start getting you, you know, worked up or something, it just doesn't work anymore. Hallelujah. Show them that you know what you know. How many of you know we can know it and not show it? We got to not only know it in our hearts, but show it to the forces of darkness that we know something. Hallelujah. And that their advantage, we know that they have no advantage in our life. We know that Jesus despoiled them, and we know that we always triumph in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
This is basically talking about not living out of our emotions. Our feelings, the thoughts that come to us. Every mind needs a bouncer at the doors. When thoughts of fear come, you ever, well, in the world, let me say, did you used to go to parties? Anybody used to go to parties where there was bouncers at the doors? They were either looking for, you know, maybe you had invitations sent out. And there was only people with invitations going to be allowed into the party, or you had to have your name on a list or something, you know. And the bouncers at the doors were standing there checking ID, finding out if you had an invitation, see if they're going to let you in, right? Come on, I know some of you are looking at me like, I'm sanctified and I'm holy. Yeah, I know. Now we are, thank God, isn't that right? Amen, But if you didn't have your name on the list or you weren't invited or whatever, they wouldn't let you in. Well, there needs to be a bouncer by everybody's mind, at the doors of your mind, checking ID. And whenever something comes, like a thought of fear, a thought of unbelief, or a thought of, you know, pity party. Brother Hagin made this statement. I just love it. He's got it from what Peter said to Jesus. You know, basically in the King James, it says he rebuked Jesus about going to the cross. One translation said, Peter said to Jesus, pity thyself. You know, you got to go to the cross. Pity yourself. Jesus turned around and rebuked him. Remember that?
Yeah.
Brother Hagin said about that, he said, anytime that you start feeling sorry for yourself, just know the devil's working on you.
That's
a high standard right there. I'm such a victim, you know. The people won't. No, devil's working on you. Devil's working on you. Amen. So, any thought that comes to your mind, Every thought that comes to your mind, it needs to be, you need to examine and see where'd that come from.
Right.
Amen. ID, please.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Where's that come from? And if they can't give you scripture and verse, if that thought can't give you scripture and verse, you know, this is in Hebrews 8:6, or this is in, you know, 1 Peter 2:24. Hey, if you can't show me that ID, you're out of here. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every mind needs, you know, you ever been where they're constructing, and I know in Iowa they do it in the summertime. They, you know, because Iowa winters, they, but you know, the frosties and everything, roads need repaired. So in the summertime, I mean, there's all kinds of places where there's roads being constructed.
Yes.
And so you'll drive and you'll find, hit these places, you know what I'm talking about, where they got these cones up, or, you know, they put this, you know, this fence, this red, orange fence around an area or something, you know, and they're working in there. Basically, you're not supposed to cross that because that's a construction zone. Isn't that right? Well, you need to put up the red construction zone tape around your mind and say to the devil, no, this is a mind under renovation of God's word. You are not permitted here.
Amen.
And if you come in here, you got to have permission. What's your permission? And it's got to be scripture and verse. Otherwise, I don't allow that thought in my mind. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It takes spiritual effort, but the fruit, I'll tell you what the fruit is. The fruit is, rather than problems getting in, and then you got to use your faith to get them out, you just keep them out here, and they never get in. I'm not saying things won't come up in your life, but they don't get in into you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a place. There's a place walking in God where they just don't get into you. It might have tried to come into the edge of your life, but from the word in you that the problem hasn't gotten in you to take out of you, you can speak to that and hold it out of your life and the outside of your life.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. I'm almost done. Mark 4, where Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. He talks about the four kinds of ground, and he said in the, the thorny ground, I believe. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. What's the next two words? Entering in. Entering in. Choke the word. Guess what? Our job is to not let it enter in. Well, I got all these things going around my mouth. Just don't let them in. Just don't let them in.
Amen.
Amen.